Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I want you to look at the end of the end of chapter 2. And you know, study the Bible, you find where the paragraph begins and where the paragraph ends. And Paul's having a problem with these false teachers that are constantly badgering him. He would check out of the Hampton Inn, and they'd check into the Holiday Inn Express, and they were following him everywhere he went, and they were degrading him. And the church at Corinth, this is the only church other than the church at Galatia. Now, he had a few problems with them, but the church at Corinth's where he really had his difficulty. I mean, they said he was a liar. They said he was ugly. They made fun of his appearance. These people really would get on your fifth nerve. And so you find that he was having difficulty. And he mentions these false teachers in verse 17 of chapter 2. He said, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." And then he describes in chapter 3 what real ministry is, and he contrasts the old covenant and the new covenant. And he says something in verse 5 of chapter 3 that's worth repeating. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And then he discusses in chapter 4, look at verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." Now, what ministry is he talking about? He's talking about the ministry of the new covenant. He's continued the conversation that his ministry was about the new covenant. Having said that, look at my text, verse 10 of chapter 4. "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Now, if you didn't get it the first time, I'm going to repeat it, because he repeats it in verse 11. "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake." It's like Jesus saying, "Verily, verily. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh thereby in us, but life in you." I want to speak a few moments on true ministry. As we leave this conference, every one of us are involved in ministry. Whether you be a pastor or a staff member, a Christian, a layman in a church, every one of us are ministers. All of us have and should be participating in true ministry. Now, I have two things to say, and I'll say them quickly. First of all, I want to talk to you about the conditions of true ministry. And then I'm going to close by challenging you to have a comprehension of true ministry. What are the conditions of true ministry? They're found in verse 10 and verse 11. Here are the two conditions. First of all, there's a death that never ends. Secondly, there's a life that always wins. I want to say that again. True ministry, the conditions for you to be effective and used of God, is you need to know a death that never ends. But then there's a life that always wins. You don't major on being dead to self. You major on being alive to God. You don't major saying no to yourself. You major on saying yes to God. Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. First of all, the condition is there's a death that never ends. Now, we realize in the previous verses, Paul's talked about being persecuted. He said he got knocked down and God picked him up. He talked about being rejected and persecuted. And then he says, this persecution has driven me to the cross. He said, I'm always bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He's talking here about embracing what it is to be dead to self and live in the reality. Now, I want you to notice one little word in verse 10 and verse 11. Always. Now, what does always mean here in Roanoke, Virginia? I'm telling you what it means in North Carolina. It means every moment of every day, every second of every minute, every hour of every day of every week, every year of my life, I'm always to be appropriating that cross that God provided. See, Jesus Christ died for me on the cross because I'm a sinner. He died as me on the cross because I'm a selfer. And the cross has two aspects. And I'm always to embrace the cross. If I know the condition of ministry, the first condition is to report to the Lord every day, DOA. Ask him to empty me of me. Ask him to knock off of me and out of me everything that doesn't look like him, to agree with him in mortification, which is constant, continuous, conspicuous repentance, and for me to allow him to regurgitate out of me everything that is unpleasing to him. The second thing I want you to see in the text is not only the death that never ends. There's a life that always wins. Now I want to read this verse again. I want to read verse 10 and 11. Notice what it says. That the life of Christ. Does it say a life like Christ? So does the Bible teach that I'm to be Christ-like, or is the only person who can be like Christ, Christ? So is me being Christ-like, me being like him, or is me being Christ-like, him being who he is in me without doing away with me? I still have my individuality. But Christ didn't come to give me his life to fill my life. Christ came to give me his life to be my life. I can't live the Christian life. He is the Christian life. There's two Greek words for life. One is the word psyche, and the other is the Greek word zoe. Now, when you read your Bible, you don't know which one you're reading. I want to show you. I mentioned it in one of my sermons, but I did not take time to show you. So turn with me to John 12. I think this is very important for you to see and to understand. John chapter 12. One of my favorite verses is about this matter of death. What is it? John 12, 24, where Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Then he explains to his disciples. Now, let me give you an exegesis of the text. First of all, he's saying, I'm going to the cross and die. When I go to the cross and die, I'm that corn of wheat. Out of my death will be the fruit of you being saved. But then he applies it to them. Because there's not only a death that he died, there's a death that you have to die. Because he not only died for you, he died as you. Now notice in verse 25, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to distinguish between the two different Greek words. Now let me explain the different words first. The word psyche means natural life. It's where we get our term psychology. Natural life. The word Zoe means God's life. Look at verse 25. He that loveth his psyche, you say, well, I dedicated my life to Christ. He that loveth his psyche shall lose it. He that hateth his psyche, Three times in the Gospels, Jesus said, you're to hate your life. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why would you give something Jesus said you're to hate? You say, now, preacher, why do we talk the way we do about giving our life to Christ? Because we're trying to communicate to a lost person the simplicity of what it means to be saved, but then we need to give them theological persuasion after they give their life that they really didn't give their life. They hated their life, and he gave them his life. So it's all right to talk about giving your life. Amen? But it's better to understand from a theological perspective what it means. Look at verse number 25. Let's read it again. If any man loveth his psyche, shall lose it. He that hateth his psyche in this world shall keep it unto Zoe. Zoe, Zoe. When the Bible talks about God giving you life, he gives you his very own life. And the only life that pleases God is God's very own life. The conditions of ministry is for you to die and to appropriate your death and to live in the reality of the resurrected life in you, possessing you moment by moment, day by day, which brings me to my last point, and I'll be finished. What is the comprehension of true ministry? Verse 12. Now, how would you define ministry? Here's how Paul describes it. Death works in me, and ministry takes place because my responsibility is to get in on my death, and then life works in you because the real issue in our churches is life. You say it's lordship. Oh, no. When you receive his life, it's a lordship life. Now you submitted to him, you submit to him in repentance to be saved. He is Lord. But when his life comes to live in you, you get the total being of who he is. And you don't make him Lord, he is Lord. Amen. And he's come to live inside of you. Now I want you to listen carefully. I read a book years and years ago. I've read everything he has ever written, and that's Warren Wiersbe. He's one of the most balanced writers and really preachers that has blessed my life immensely. Warren Wiersbe wrote a little book called Being a Servant. In that book, Being a Servant, he defines ministry this way. He says, ministry is when divine resources flow through obedient vessels to meet the needs of others for the glory of God. Now, out of my theological persuasion and thinking, I've come up with my own definition, and I'd like to share it with you as we close, because in my last time to speak to you, because I really believe if you understand ministry from verse 12, the conditions in verse 10 and 11 is the death that never ends, the life that always wins, but there's a service that reproduces. And as you are dead and God's alive in you, God ministers through you. And here's my definition of ministry. It's when the divine life of Jesus flows through yielded, Romans 12, 1 and 2, Romans 6, 13. I've got to yield my members, I've got to yield my body. Through yielded, loving, I've got to be motivated by agape love. God's concerned not only would I participate in ministry, but how it is accomplished. And if any motive is not agape love, the love of Christ constrains me. 2 Corinthians 5:14. So it's when the life of Christ flows through yielded, loving, obedient. God will not obey for you. Just like God won't believe for you, but he'll enable you to believe. God will not repent for you, but he'll enable you to repent. When you're willing to repent, he'll enable you to repent. When you're willing to believe, he'll enable you to believe. And when you obey, the divine life of Christ flowing through yielded, loving, obedient vessels to meet the needs of others. We're in the others business. We exist for others. For the glory of God. So if I'm correct in my definition, then a preacher don't preach a sermon. The big preacher does. Soul winning happens when the greatest soul winner that ever lived, who lives inside of you, is motivating you out of love for lost people, constraining you and causing you to cooperate with him. I know you think I'm crazy, but this happens supernaturally, naturally, naturally, supernaturally. It's not important, you know, but it'll happen. And those who see the effect of it will know that it's God working in and through you. The only explanation for this conference this week has been the Lord. And really, the truth of the matter is, true ministry is taking place. Why? Because it's the life of God flowing through yielded, loving, obedient vessels to meet the needs of others for the glory, glory, glory of God. If that's the case, how much ministry is happening in your church? Let me tell you a conversation I had with Miss Bertha Smith, and I'll be finished. Miss Bertha Smith, I went to see her and talked with her. And she asked me a question when she came back from China. She said, who do you think revival's for? I said, well, Miss Bertha, revival's for the people who really don't, maybe they're members of the church and they don't come. She said, no, they're lost. I said, well, Miss Bertha, revival's for those who come, but they're not active in serving in the church. She said, no, they're lost. Here's what she said that blew me away. She said, when I came back from China, she said, we don't know the difference between spirituality and soulishness. And soulishness is people serving God in the energy of their own ability. And most preachers are just looking for live bodies and for people to get active in their church. What we need to do is to tell them without Jesus, they can do nothing. I wish somebody would have told me that when I first was converted. I wish somebody would have revealed to me that I died when Jesus died and I attended my funeral and that Christ lives in me and God wasn't concerned about my ability but my availability so that he could get access to my redeemed humanity and that God could flow through me as his life flows through me being yielded, which is a moment by moment. It's not an all-conclusive thing. Loving. Sometimes I preach for attention. Sometimes I want my church to grow. I did for attention. Never will forget the day in 1981, God showed me that my work in my strength for him was sin. True ministry is when the Lord works through us. I used to think he gave me peace. He is my peace. I used to think he gave me joy. He is my joy. I used to think that he gave me power. He is my power. I used to think he helped my life. But he gave me his life. Two things I want to make sure I communicate as I close that I'm not saying. I am not saying because God lives in you and the life of God lives in you that you can say I am as Jesus did. There's two things for sure. There is a God, you not him. But here's what I'd like to leave you with, this thought. Go back to your church and realize it's not what you do for him that matters. It's what he does through you that will stand the test of the fire at the Bema seat, because we're going to cast our trophies upon him. And I'm under the conviction that we cast them to him in Revelation 4:10 because we realize it was him that did it through us. To him be glory, honor, and power. Unto him be praise throughout all eternity. Lord, I thank you for your blessed word. I thank you for true ministry. Lord, there's so much ministry that is not true. Just like it was in the days of Paul. Those who corrupt the word of God. Those, Lord, who think that they can do something for you in their strength. God, dismantle us. God, fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. God, give us not only a new vision for where we are, but help us to realize the victory has already been accomplished. And may Jesus, the victor, live his life through us for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.